Okay, we're good to go.
All right, welcome and good afternoon. Good to see you all here. Welcome back, Elaine. Good to see you again. All right, and Ken, you and over there too, I guess. So good to see all of you here. So we're starting tonight with chapter 4. This afternoon, I think, would be more appropriate. So this afternoon we start with Genesis chapter 4. Let's look to God in prayer. Most gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we thank Thee that we can meet again with Thee today to continue our study in the book of Genesis. We thank Thee, Father, for the many lessons that we have already learned from Thy Word, and pray that Thou would continue to guide and direct us even today. Grant us understanding minds and hearts, and bless us, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. As we come then to chapter 4 in the book of Genesis, we talk then, first of all, about the birth of Cain and Abel. The birth of Cain and Abel. And the chapter begins with the words, "And Adam knew his wife." You mean he didn't know her before? I'm sure he did. And of course, this is one of these euphemisms that we see in the Bible. And this is the first time that we see this particular euphemism for marital intercourse. Adam knew his wife. And we see that, a number of times used throughout the Bible. And so, Adam knew his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, "I have gotten a man from the Lord." The name Cain means gotten, acquired. That is the idea there. And she said, "I have gotten a man from the Lord." So the word gotten there is the name of Cain, and it would be derived there, the name, from that exclamation that she made there. "I've gotten a man from the Lord." So Eve was not only thankful for the child, but also that the Lord had enabled her to beget a man. Now, there's a couple of things in there. Some have suggested that she thought that this one might be the one that was promised in 3:15. Remember? "But I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." In other words, the proto-evangelium, that promise of the Messiah. So some Bible scholars think that at this point she thinks that, "I've gotten a man from the Lord. I've gotten the one that was promised that would be the Messiah." And I think we realize very quickly that this is not the Messiah. There's also another thought in there that when she says, I have gotten a man from the Lord, at that point he doesn't look like a man. He looks like a baby. Alright? Because obviously, while we say that Adam and Eve were created with the appearance of age, in other words, they were full grown, they were mature, Cain was not fully grown and mature when he was born. So he was born like every human baby. And yet, she says, "I've gotten a man from the Lord." She doesn't say, "I've gotten a baby, I've gotten a man." So there's also that faith that she had that her baby would grow to manhood. So that is the first one. Then we see Adam and Eve having their first child, Cain. And then she says in verse 2, "And she again bare his brother Abel." Now let's stop there a moment before we look at the next half of the verse. So Abel was Adam and Eve's second son, and some Bible scholars, alright, and I have to say some, suggest that Cain and Abel may have been twins. Alright? And they say that on the basis of the fact in verse 1, Adam knew his wife and she conceived. And she again bare. It doesn't say he knew his wife and she conceived. All right? So some Bible scholars have suggested that because it only mentioned once that he knew her, that therefore the two children were twins. But that is not necessary. All right? The Bible is silent on that matter, and we really cannot make that conclusion. So we have a lot of other Bible scholars then saying, no, they were not twins, they were simply brothers, and there was some years between them. Now, how many years between them, we don't know. But we do know that the name Abel means breath, or a vapor, or nothing, or vanity. That's the idea there of the name Abel. And it would suggest that by the time that Abel was born, Eve had become thoroughly impressed with the impact of God's curse on the world. Because, remember, there was in a sense a threefold curse, a curse upon the serpent. We saw that. There was the curse upon the woman, and there was also the curse upon the man. All right, so we have these three, if we looked at last week. So we see the pressure there and the idea there, and this world now is a very different place than it was before the fall. So before the fall, everything was fine. Adam, you go and look after this garden, and it brought forth abundantly fruit. But now, you know, in the sweat of thy face, thou shalt earn thy living. You're going to have to work hard. There's going to be struggles. There's going to be weeds. There's going to be thorns. There's going to be thistles. We have all these kind of things going on and growing. So the situation was very, very different. So, you know, the earth is becoming a place of, you know, life is just a vapor, and it just disappears very quickly. Now, as the two boys then grow, Cain and Abel, so most likely Cain, you know, as I said, number of years older than Abel, we don't know. They begin to work, but we see that there is a difference between the two boys. Because as the boys grew, Cain became a farmer, and Abel became a shepherd. The last part of verse 2 and chapter 4, and Abel was a keeper of the sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. Now, both of these are honorable occupations. You know, we have to recognize that they're both good. And Cain's fruit provided the food for the people. Now remember, it is not till after the flood that the people begin to eat meat. So people might wonder then, why was Abel a keeper of sheep? Because they didn't eat mutton. They didn't eat lamb. You know, they didn't eat these things. So why would he be breeding sheep? Well, I think there would be two reasons for that. First of all, for clothing. All right? I'm not sure how many times or whether you've ever seen sheep shearing. Some of you, no doubt, have seen it more than once. You know, some of you still relatively new here, you may not have seen it. When Dr. Backus was here, what was it, 2 weeks ago, we took him to see some sheep shearing. And it was very interesting. And I always enjoy seeing that. You know, we've taken a number of people there over the years to see that. And of course they come out with a whole fleece. And I can remember too when I was a boy, you know, wearing jumpers that my mom had knitted out of real sheep's wool. You know, and when I say real sheep's wool, it's not all even. Some sections are thin and thin and thick, and you know, and they varied a great deal in thickness. It looked very interesting. But you see that. So if Abel was breeding sheep, one reason would be for clothing. But another thing in there as well, a second reason why he would be doing that, and that would be to bring them as an offering or a sacrifice for the Lord. Now again, there are some things that are not clearly stated for us here, but we do know that at the time of Adam and Eve, and particularly Cain and Abel, which are mentioned in this chapter, that people were worshiping the Lord, and they were bringing sacrifices to God. And so the sacrifices that were acceptable to God was the sacrifice of a sheep or a lamb. So this is now why Abel is a keeper of the sheep. So for clothing and also for sacrifice. See, the lesson that God had taught Adam and Eve was not to be forgotten. What was that lesson? Adam and Eve, the covering that you made for your own sin is not satisfactory. You need a proper covering for your sin, and so God made clothes out of the skins of animals. And that is then the reference in the Bible, the first reference to death. When God kills these animals to provide clothing for Adam and Eve. So that is a lesson that was not to be forgotten. Atonement or a covering requires the shedding of blood. So this is then why we say Abel was a keeper of the sheep. The sheep, the wool for clothing, and the animal for sacrifice to offer unto the Lord. And we'll see more of that as time goes by here. And remember, as I mentioned also, they were not used for clothing, because that is not so much later. So we see Cain and Abel then working, Adam and Eve there as well. And as we go on there and continue with verses 3, 4, and 5, the worship of early man, it seems probable that Adam and Eve would have shown love to both their sons. They're not going to show love to one and not to the other one. You know, these are the first two. So they would have shown love to both of them. They would have instructed them alike. So in that sense, since they were both brought up in the same way, it's difficult to understand what caused Cain and Abel to assume totally different characters and attitudes, because they were very different. So again, we don't know some of these things. Why? This is all part of the providence of God, God's leading in their lives, but we know that this is what happened. We also know that at this point, both Cain and Abel are mature adults. You know, if they weren't, if they were still young boys, they would not be keeping the sheep or tilling the ground. So the fact that they are doing this, that they are working, indicates that they are now mature adults. It is also likely that at this point, Cain and Abel had brothers and sisters. You know, remember that as well. If you turn over to the next chapter, chapter 5, and verse 4, and the days of Adam, after he had begotten Seth, were 800 years, and he begat sons and daughters. And all the days that Adam lived were 930 years, and he died. So, but the last part there of verse 4, he begat sons and daughters. How many? Again, we don't know. The Bible doesn't tell us. It simply says he begat sons and daughters. So that it is no longer just Adam, Eve, Cain, Abel. Not just four of them. There are more people now upon the earth. And so we have Cain and Abel then, two very different boys, well, now grown men, and we have brothers and sisters for them. Later on, of course, when we see that Cain gets married, you know, one of these questions is, where did Cain get his wife? All right, well, we'll come to that question. But the answer basically is, well, Adam and Eve had sons and daughters. So at that point, the only thing that he, or the only person he could have married, would have been his, one of his sisters. All right, that may not be acceptable today, but the whole situation was different then. And so we see that what's happened. But all right, let's look at Cain. All right, so Cain, we have mentioned that there was fruit and there was no recognition of sin. So, and it came to pass, in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. Now, this is the first occasion on which Cain received a rebuke from the Lord. Alright? God had no respect unto Cain and his offering. Alright? We saw, see that in verse 5. So, it would imply that before this, the offerings that Cain had brought were acceptable unto the Lord. So, but unto Cain and his offering, he had no respect at this particular time. In the process of time, at the end of days, literally, Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. Now, it would seem, and again, the Bible is silent on some of these matters, but it would seem that before this, whenever Cain brought an offering, that it was an offering, a sacrifice of an animal, which is what Abel did. But now, for some reason, he doesn't do that. Some commentators have suggested that maybe he got tired asking his brother for sheep. We don't know, you know, because the Bible is silent, so this is really just speculation. But this is one of the suggestions that has been made, that before this he was, you know, brought also some sheep or lamb or sacrifice. But now he said, why should I keep asking my brother for, you know, why don't, I've been working so hard, you know, I've grown all these things, and why don't I bring an offering of that? So that Cain may have thought that his offering of fruit should be acceptable to God. But the problem is that his heart is not right before God. And that was the reason why his offering was rejected. His offering was not in faith. There was no recognition of sin on his part. Because the sacrifice of the animal, that always indicates there that recognition of sin, and that sin needs to be covered. And that can only be through blood. The life of the flesh is in the blood. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. So that was the lesson that was taught in Genesis chapter 3, when God provides that covering for Adam and Eve. And that is what Cain should have done. But there is no recognition of sin in his life. And so he offers what he wanted to offer, not what God wanted him to offer. Alright? Now, some of these things, again, like I said, the Bible is silent. It doesn't tell us all these things. But we can only go back to Genesis chapter 3, where we see that God gives the example in killing the animals to provide a covering for the sin of Adam and Eve. So drawing that picture then, that is the way it should be. The animals are to be sacrificed. And Cain did not do that. Morris said this, though perhaps up to this point in life, he, that is Cain, may have seemed outwardly pious and obedient toward God, this incident finally revealed the inward pride and resentment that must have been festering in his heart for some time. So Morris is saying that this was something that developed over time. You know, here are the two brothers, they're both working hard all day long, one looking after the sheep, the other one growing crops, and all the people were eating were his crops. You know, they never took anything from Abel. It's always my crops that are being grown, you know. I think mine are better than his, you know. But that was not God's point. Different areas of responsibility. They both worked, but there was, in a sense, pride on the part of Cain. He thought his offering was good enough, but it wasn't. But see, on the other hand, Abel's offering was acceptable to the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. If you turn to the book of Hebrews, I'll just read it to you, but it's Hebrews 11, verse 4. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it, he being dead, yet speaketh. He being dead, yet speaketh. That's very interesting. Pastor Glenn Locke referred to that verse this morning in his sermon here at the Appadale Baptist Church. And he says, here's a man about 400 years ago, he being dead, yet speaketh. And then he was referring to, interestingly, John Calvin. Interesting to hear a Baptist referring to John Calvin. But that's good. So we know that he is familiar with Calvin and knows Calvin. All right? But he referred to this particular verse. And it's interesting because one of the things I will be saying in this sermon today, he also mentioned this morning, you know, one particular phrase. It's interesting how, well, I don't want to say great minds think alike because that wouldn't be nice. But, you know, we sometimes think along the same lines, you know, and, you know, you can see that this fastness sometimes, you know, you're thinking along the same lines and come up with the same expression, same illustration sometimes to illustrate some of these points. But here we have, you know, Abel, you know, by faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. So he brought the lamb, all right? And again, as he does that, there is that recognition of sin. And not only did he offer the lamb, but we're told that with the firstlings of the flock, he offered the fat thereof. Alright? And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And you may be wondering why I'm mentioning the fat. You know, you don't want to eat fat today. You know, it's not good for you, they say. Well, when I was a boy growing up, my grandpa used to buy blocks of slabs of bacon. And she would cut her own bacon, you know. And as a boy, I used to take that bacon and eat it raw. So we don't recommend that today. But in those days, you know, we didn't know any better. So I used to eat raw bacon. It was good too, you know. But I don't recommend you do that today. Cook it first. All right. So as I said, back then we didn't know. But he brought the fat thereof. And that's something that is later on mentioned in Leviticus chapter 3 and verse 16. Because then it would say in the law of Moses, as part of the peace offering, that all the fat is the Lord's. All the fat is the Lord's. So in the Moses law, the law of Moses, from the people bringing, there was different kinds of offerings. One of them was a peace offering. And in the peace offering, they were also to bring the fat. Not just slaughter the animal, but also to present the fat to the Lord. So the fat, all the fat, is the Lord's. And so here already, we're seeing Abel doing just that. Not only that, you know, he brought of the firstling of his flock, in other words, that one was sacrificed for the Lord, but all the fat was also presented to the Lord. Now, as this all here happens, all right, we know that Cain and to his offering, unto Cain and to his offering, God had no respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. So Cain was very angry. Why did God not accept my offering? You know, does Abel, my younger brother, does he think he's better than I am? You know, his countenance fell. So you look at his face, he had a long face, fat-looking face. We're not told that his, you know, his face fell. And so obviously by looking at his face, you could immediately tell there was something wrong. There was something not right. And so he sees that. But then, as you come to verses 6 and 7, God gives Cain a second chance. All right? And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth? Why are you angry? why is thy countenance fallen? So God comes to him, asks him these questions, but then notice how God puts it in verse 7. If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? So if you do well, if you do good, if you do that which is right, if you obey my word, says God, well, you will be accepted. So here, he had not accepted the offering before. Cain's offering of the fruit of the ground, his heart was not right, his attitude was not right, the offering was the wrong kind of an offering because God requires sacrifice, the death of an animal. But God here says, alright, I'll give you a second chance. Now, remember, of course, when it comes to the matter of salvation, you know, there is, in a sense, no second chance. Okay, we recognize that. So, once we die, we don't go to purgatory, and if we're there long enough, you know that eventually we may get to heaven. That's not what the Bible teaches. But God often does give people a second chance. You know, he offers salvation. People may not respond to it the first time. There may be a second opportunity to hear it. There may be a third opportunity to hear it. You know, and the people can say, no, 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 I'm not interested. I don't want to be saved. God gives many opportunities for people to repent. But it's also in the matter of Christian service. You know, we see that there's often a second chance. God asks people, come and serve me. And some of them don't. But then there's often a second chance that God gives. So we do see God giving second opportunities. And that is what he does here now with Cain. God gives him that second opportunity. Alright, Cain, if you do well, shall thou not be accepted? If you change your ways, if you from now on bring the right kind of an offering, this is acceptable to God. And he will then receive you. You will be accepted. But on the other hand, second half there, verse 7, if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. If you continue in your rebellion, if you continue to do things in your own way rather than in my way, sin lieth at the door. Now, this is the first time the word sin is used in the Bible. It is not used, actually, in chapter 3, all right, where we have the fall of man. The word sin is not mentioned there, all right? You know, they disobeyed God. We know that. God said, don't eat of this fruit. They ate of that fruit. We see all these things, but the actual word sin is only used here in chapter 4 and verse 7. If thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And so, if you continue with this sinful way, well, unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. There's a reference there to that Cain would then truly become a seed of the serpent. Because remember, that's what he saw in 3:15. Alright? I would enmity between thee and the woman. He is speaking to the serpent. You, serpent, and the woman. Between thy seed and her seed. Thy seed. The seed of the serpent. The demons that are there. But also the people that are against God, against God's way, do things their own way, and do things in a way that is pleasing to the serpent, pleasing to Satan. So, if you do not well, Cain, if you're going to continue in your own way, then you're going to have to take the consequences. Sin lieth at the door. Sin is coming into your life. And as it is, you know, there's going to be the fact that you will truly become the seed of the serpent or of Satan. Well, we go on, verses 8 through 10, and we see there that Cain murders Abel. Sadly, Cain rejected God's warning, and he elected to continue in his own way. Again, we don't know some of the things that are the details here. Some of the Hebrew Bible doesn't make this clear, but some of the early writings, early translations that have been made of the Old Testament, they imply that it actually may have been a premeditated murder on his part. Now, the Bible, as it states here, doesn't tell us that, but that's from some of the other commentaries that are there. The suggestion has been made, you know, Cain talked with Abel, his brother. All right, okay, they talked together. That's one thing. But it came to pass when they were in the field. So the suggestion is that Cain says, Abel, let's go out to the field, because he didn't want any witnesses present. So if he would have been where everybody was living, you know, Adam, Eve, Cain, Abel, brothers, sisters, however many at that particular time, he didn't want any witnesses. So some commentators have suggested it was definitely a premeditated act of murder. Again, we cannot be certain, all right, because the Bible is silent on that matter. But we do know what happened, and that is that Cain killed Abel. Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him and killed him. Why? Well, if you want the answer to that question, 1 John chapter 3 and verse 12 actually gives the answer to that question. All right. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil and his brother's righteous. All right. 1 John 3:12. So, he killed him because his own works were evil and his brother's works were righteous. So that is the reason he killed him. His works were evil. He did not obey God. There was pride in his heart. He wanted to do things his way because he thought that was good enough. And God did not accept his offering, but God accepted his brother's offering, and he didn't like it, and so he killed his brother. Now, as soon as he does that, God called Cain to account. Alright? And the Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel thy brother? Now again, this question, it's like in the garden after Adam and Eve had eaten the forbidden fruit. God came to the garden, Adam, where are you? Did God not know where Adam was? Well, we've already told you, of course, he knew where Adam was. But he wanted Adam to know that he knew that Adam was hiding. Alright? So again, trying to draw his attention to that point. So now you hear the same thing. Cain, where is Abel thy brother? You know, not that he didn't know, because obviously God knew. But his first question that God asked was designed to elicit from Cain a confession. God certainly didn't ask him that because he didn't know where Abel was. He knew. But he wanted a confession, you know, on his part. Where is Abel thy brother? Lord, I'm sorry. I lost my temper. I got angry. Lord, you accepted his offering and accept mine, and I killed him. I'm sorry. God wanted some kind of a confession on the part of Cain. But again, Cain doesn't answer in that way. Instead of reacting in humility and fear of God, Cain boldly actually questions God's right to ask such a question. I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? I don't know where he is. So that is the reply that Cain now gives to God. You know, instead of properly speaking to God, confessing his unworthiness, confessing his sin, he is instead trying to argue with God unless he is better than God is. You know, remember, Adam, why have you done this? The woman that you gave me, she gave me to eat and I ate. Woman, what have you got to say? Well, it's the serpent's fault. You know, never the person themselves. Adam doesn't take the responsibility, you know. Here, Eve doesn't take the responsibility. And now, Cain, am I my brother's keeper? Now, the answer to that question actually is yes. You are your brother's keeper. We have a responsibility for each other as Christians. So really, am I my brother's keeper? Yes, you are your brother's keeper. All right? Now, there's a number of things involved in there. He said in verse 10, what hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. It's interesting, you know, where is Abel thy brother? First of all, of course, he knew that his brother was dead. All right? But you know, interestingly, in some ways, he did not know. He said, I know not. And interestingly, in some way, that is true. Okay? Let me explain what I mean by that. All right? Abel's relationship with God was a good one. Cain's was not. So, when a person who has faith in the Lord dies, absent from the body, present with the Lord. All right? So, we believe that when Abel died, he went to be present with the Lord. Where's your brother, Cain? I don't know. He didn't know. But he was present with the Lord. It's a beautiful picture there, actually. You see that? You know. Again, the Bible doesn't tell us that he was present with the Lord, but we do know from other passages that once we believe on the Lord, once we die, we go to be with the Lord forevermore. So that's one of the blessings for the Christians. You know, but here Cain, he didn't know. So to some extent what he was saying here was true. What hast thou done? All right. Well, he killed his brother, isn't it? And the voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. So God makes it very clear, Cain, you thought I did not know, but I know. I could see everything that you did. I know what you have done. Well, I think we'll have to stop here for today, stopping a few minutes early because today, first Sunday of the month, we have Lord's Supper. Things need to be set up, so I know about 5 minutes early. But we'll stop at this point, and then next week we'll continue here, the Lord willing. Thank you.